Do you think at that time that they would even go as far as to pretend that they were contactees or experts and get themselves out into the public?
Well, that's actually a very good question. I tell you why. Do you mean that the FBI would do that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, actually, one of the interesting things that I found, I did a Freedom of Information request, which we can go into a bit more detail, on crashed UFO personalities, one of who was Leonard Stringfield. And Leonard Stringfield in the 50s actually commented openly that he thought that some of the contactees were official plants, if you like, mm-hmm. either to possibly ridicule some of the more credible UFO reports,
right.
or, and I think this may be more likely, to try and infiltrate the UFO community by the intelligence world and pass themselves off as people involved in ufology.
Because this was a serious, real episode, they needed to get inside information.
Yeah, and the best way to do that is actually to pretend you're one of the part of that community. And, you know, that works. I actually think that works far better than, you know, having to sort of break into somebody's house and force open a filing cabinet to get their files. Why not just pretend to be a witness? And
get invited over for tea.
Yeah, get into the mindset of the person, become friends with them, and, you know, gain their confidence. And all the time, you know, you're filing reports back with HQ in Washington, D.C. or wherever.
Well, I got to tell you, we will talk about the crash UFOs at the top of the hour. And also, Serpo, you've also done some incredible work with underground bases. Mm. The old UFO writers of the time, Frank Edwards, one coming to mind, were they legitimate people? Were they good investigators or were they plants?
You know, I actually don't think Frank Edwards was, and I'll tell you for why, because, again, this is one of the things that surprised me. I actually got hold of part of Frank Edwards' FBI file. And there's actually a three-page FBI review, like a literal book review of his book, Flying Saucers: Serious Business, which was published in the mid-1960s. Now, that's kind of, you know, a seminal classic book today. A lot of people, you know, thought Edwards was sort of pretty much like a tabloid writer. But he did cover a lot of good cases. And what people may not know is that that book actually mentions Roswell, or one of his early ones does. He doesn't talk about it in depth, but he talks about, you know, this object came down. And the FBI's review of Flying Saucers: Serious Business runs to three pages. So, again, it shows that some of the early people in the subject, it wasn't just lectures and conferences that the FBI were attending. They're actually, for want of a better term, acting as book reviewers for J. Edgar Hoover, you know, saying this guy's got a new book out and this is what it contains, which, again, was very surprising, to say the least.
Did you ever come across information about the Barney and Biddy Hill case?
Not at an official level, although I will tell you that there's the FBI have actually declassified one file or one report of an abduction from the mid-1960s. Now, there are very, very few official documents that have surfaced on abductions, and let alone, you know, one from the 1960s, that far back. But I did get hold of one for the FBI, which, again, is reproduced in the book. And it's a classic case of a guy reporting missing time, these small creatures coming into his room and, you know, something being done to him and feeling disorientated and so on. And, you know, bearing in mind this is an official document that can be verified as dating from the mid-60s, you know, it predates a lot of the later abduction material, which convinces me, you know, that the military and the government knew that abductions were going on that far back.